conscious couples, business partners, and singles committed to attracting their dream partner. Welcome to the Conscious Couples Podcast, where we share our life, love story, and combined relationship expertise to help you create and consistently cultivate the most magnificent intimate relationship possible.
Never again will you feel hopeless and alone in your intimate relationship challenges.
Having accumulated thousands of hours coaching conscious couples and individuals all over the world, as well as starting and growing a global business together, Alan and I are here to guide you and all things relationships.
Thank you again for tuning into the one place where it's not about you or me, it's about the we. Conscious couples and individuals, welcome back to the one and only Conscious Couples Podcast. This is episode 102, Why Men Struggle So Much in Relationships. So I don't feel called out at all. No, but if you are a man listening, trigger warning, but it won't be a bad one, and it's going to be good. Okay, before we jump into this episode, as always, thank you to Next Level Podcast Solutions for producing this show and so many others. Wow. You produced 1,768 episodes of podcasts all over the world in just 2023 alone, which is wild. So all the work you're doing is spreading so much personal development, so much goodness, so much positivity. Thank you. Sweetheart, as always, ladies first, what is your intention for today's episode?
So my intention for today's episode honestly comes from a heartfelt place because I speak with a lot of men around this arena, and this one's for not just the dudes, but everyone that gets impacted
by the dudes,
all that jazz. And really it's to help more relationships that have those masculine energies in the relationship really not just survive relationships and relationship in general, but really to start to point towards thriving. And I figured no better way than have an honest dialogue around that.
So I was being playful about being triggered. This is not going to be a necessarily bad episode for any men who are listening, by the way. So, okay. So first and foremost, where did this all come from? We like to start with sort of an origin story. There have been several iterations. So you and I started doing relationship talks coaching almost 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And we've coached many different couples, some female-female. I don't think we've ever had any male-male, but we've had many, most of them are heterosexual male-female yep. couples. Now, in a lot of those sessions, we have noticed a pattern. Now, this isn't every time, so this is not a blanket statement, but mm-hmm. statistically speaking, this is more probable than not. And so we've had several instances where we're on the phone from couple to couple. So Emilia and I are on Relationship Talks coaching with another couple. And we've found that we talk deep. We talk about trauma. We talk about emotions. We talk about your past. We talk about a lot of the things that might be going on beneath the surface of the iceberg yeah. that are affecting the relationship, different cycles and things. And what we've found happening several times, which I thought have been really fascinating, is the man in the relationship will say something along the lines of, yeah, well, you know, I don't really feel like I have any trauma. And while that person may not have experienced, I'll use this story as an example. So one time someone in Emilia and I's life sat us down, and it was a man, and he said, well, we don't really have any real trauma, referring to Emilia and this person. And they referred to my father and my father's car accident as real trauma.
Yeah.
And my father passed away in a car accident. For new listeners, when I was 2 years old, he was 28 years old. And this person's belief system around trauma was, if you didn't have a parent die in a car accident, or you were in a bad fire, or what this person's belief system was that I haven't really dealt with any real trauma. I had a good childhood. Right. And while that might be true, that you had a statistically good childhood, that does not mean by any means that you don't have any trauma. And so statistically speaking, men, in our experience with relationship talks, coaching, and just studying people in general, being podcasters, interviews, that this, that, and the other thing, have come to understand that a lot of men don't think they have any trauma. And there's two problems with that. Number one, if you don't think you have a problem, why would you work on it? And number two, And this is kind of the joke that I make is guys can't even ask for directions, never mind get a therapist. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a funny joke, and I'm a man, so I can say that. And it was hard for me to get a therapist when Emilia suggested it. And so she suggested it from the frame of, this would be really beneficial for you. You're not from the frame of you're broken and need fixing.
Yeah.
But from the frame of, I think you're leaving a lot on the table. And that has been very true, by the way, because now I've been in therapy for, I think, over a year now. Coming up on a year.
Yeah.
So and it's been tremendous. It's been unbelievable. Because at the end of the day, if you don't know what's driving you beneath the surface, you can't really manifest your dreams nearly as effectively.
No.
And you certainly can't respond in positive ways to negative situations without understanding what you're going through and what's driving beneath the surface. So, long story long, sweetheart, I'm going to let you talk now. But but essentially, from one man to a potential other man listening, or a female listening that's in a relationship, heterosexual, with a man, it can be difficult for a man to sit with their emotions and actually understand the value of them, mm-hmm. and understand maybe the deeper belief systems that are driving when they just don't think they have any trauma, or maybe they don't think they need help, or whatever it is. So go.
Yeah, I love how you mentioned that, because there is a really big, and I work one-on-one with a lot of different males, and I have over the term of my career. And so I've been able to get a very unique insight behind the scenes of the vulnerability that men actually, and I know it's hard to believe, but men actually experience when they have a safe space. And I say that jokingly, half not, because it hurts my heart how difficult that is for men to plug into, to really get vulnerable, to really feel their emotions. I mean, I have a client in mind right now who is in his late 40s and, you know, is just starting to learn how to speak of what emotions he's feeling and trying to decipher what his human experience actually is. And it pains my heart, because so many of us who are more feelers by nature and speak through the lens of their emotions, or really just navigate the world through having that heightened awareness, don't realize how much of a gift that is. And I can really see that, and I can share in that, because for a long time I also struggled with vulnerability. I still do a little bit.
To give a good tangible example is, a lot of you think about your fathers. Everyone think about their father right now. If you're listening, how many times have you seen your father cry in comparison to maybe your mother cry?
Mm-hmm.
And I think statistically speaking, you're almost always going to, I mean, my stepfather, I never saw him cry a single time.
Yeah.
And he was in my life for 11 years. So in 11 years, I never once saw my stepfather cry. And so it's that whole too tough to cry, stoic, you know, this idea that I'm weak if I don't put on this front that I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's just if you have an insecurity and you pretend that you don't, you're never going to work on the insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, this is the stereotypical rub some dirt in it, soldier up type of thing that a lot of cultures particularly push on men.
Yeah.
And it's obviously pushed on some women too, depending. But
yeah.
So we don't want a blanket statement, men versus women. But I think statistically speaking, it's important to talk about males here.
Yeah. And I want to start with what you had mentioned around the belief system with trauma. So if we have a belief system that I didn't experience any trauma because of what the belief system around trauma was brought into our family system, likely we're never going to work on our trauma or our issues or our problems. And therein lies the first step. I think that one of the biggest issues that I see when it comes to relationships and the struggling within relationships that I've observed within men too, and you and I in the same room, is the fact that there is that belief that, like, I didn't experience trauma. And that's where things from my perspective go astray, because every single person has experienced trauma.
Can you give us a private example where the man has experienced trauma and what that might look like, even though they might not consider it trauma?
Yeah. So for example, I have one client who had gotten beaten up in high school and, like, really badly bullied. And that was actually what we call acute trauma. So little T, also known as little T trauma, where a lot of people wouldn't consider that traumatic, right? Especially if they...
Wait. Who wouldn't consider that traumatic?
A lot of people, believe it or not, wouldn't believe
that. Being beaten up is not a trauma?
No, a lot of people wouldn't consider that, babe. Believe it or not. Yeah. So this, especially if you grew up in a household where you get beaten up because you have older brothers, or you get beaten up because that's life, right? Oh. So this is where it starts to go. What is your normal starts to craft your belief system.
So what's the definition of trauma? Because they just don't know the definition then. Because obviously being beaten up in high school is a trauma.
Yeah. What I like to say is high level, it changes your brain chemistry. So trauma changes the way in which your brain works, your central nervous system works. That's the basic definition, how you operate as a human being.
But what's that can't be the whole definition. Isn't the trauma something you experience that is extremely painful? Something like that?
See, yes and no. See, that's actually where the belief system starts to go wrong, because a lot of people think that it needs to be extreme. And the person determining that is the observer instead of the individual that experienced it. So now we're getting into the waters that get murky around perception, which is what is extreme. So if for example, that client experienced a really extreme in his experience, emotional pain, it wasn't even the physical pain. It was the fact that he was emotionally humiliated. His friends had turned on him. And then the physical pain that he experienced came second as a physical trauma to his emotional trauma. That then growing up in a household where that was quote unquote normal, having that experience, that then built, rub some dirt in it, roll it, like just roll it off the top of your shoulder, go with the punches, whatever, like don't be whatever it is, right? So it comes back down to the belief system around, instead of what happened to you and what occurred in your emotional, physical, mental, spiritual experience as a human being, people deduce that experience down to what is wrong with you, not what happened with you. And that's where we get into the defect land, where a lot of us have experiences that we then determine ourselves as defective. And that gets brought in as quote unquote the baggage into a lot of relationships. So when a feminine nature is trying to get deeper into that experience, and a male has actually been taught and socially reinforced to stonewall, meaning like just close off, pretend like they don't have feelings, not try to articulate those feelings, or not acknowledge the fact that they've had traumatic experiences, or not cry, that ends up being such a wedge in the relationship, which is why I wanted to talk about this. Because if you never address that, and if you never work on that, say for example, you never went to therapy, like there's so much of your own personal experience that is not being acknowledged.
But I was, long before therapy, you never once heard from me that I don't have any trauma.
Right.
I mean, if anything,
you acknowledge it.
Yeah, big time. So this is an interesting conversation, because what man hasn't at some point been beaten up by an older brother or a friend. I got beaten up by the older brother's friends,
yeah.
My friend's older brothers.
Yep.
And I mean, what man doesn't experience bullying? I mean, every man experiences some bullying.
So I don't hear a lot about that. And that's what's interesting. And if I do, it's in a conversation of like, yeah, well, that's just guys. And that therein lies, again, even more of the fabric of the issue. If it's just guys, then how much are men going to have a space to talk about it openly?
So people who get bullied don't think that they have trauma?
A lot of people. It's contingent upon their belief system of their like family systems of the school, like it really is contingent upon the belief systems of the people that they grow up around.
I mean, if you're getting made fun of in a group, I'll just share this story because it's, I think, indicative of this. I remember there was a really all-star baseball player. His name was Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in calculus class, and he really humiliated me in front of everyone.
Aww.
And everyone was laughing at me, and the teacher stuck up for me, which was really nice. My favorite teacher of all time, her name was Christine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, he's trying to learn.
Yeah,
and I got a better grade on the AP test because I wanted to learn. Yeah. So, but at the end of the day, that was super humiliating because he was really popular and he got everyone to laugh at me.
Right.
So there are people that wouldn't consider that trauma.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, that's really quite ignorant and alarming.
Well, that's the issue. I know a lot of men are struggling with relationships and being in relationships and
every
getting relationships.
Every man has had those experiences. I mean, at least something to that extent, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for sure. So.
But how often do you hear men talking about that?
That's okay. Yeah, fair.
And
I don't really know.
Talking about,
you've
always
suppressing. Said things like, I'm very humble or emotionally aware or whatever. I can't imagine a world where I don't talk about things like that.
Yeah.
A little over a year and a half ago, I attended my first relationship call with Alan and Amelia. And as a single mother, I was very curious what I was actually going to be able to take away from it. I was very blown away with how deep we could actually go in that first session alone. It really opened the doors and opened my eyes to a lot of my patterning and wounding around relationships. Through attending some of their live events and through work with them, I have really grown in confidence in learning how to love and show up for myself, which has been huge. And it's really set the bar high when in terms of standards for relationships and what I desire and need out of a relationship. They very much practice what they preach, and it's so nice to see people working consciously on relationships. Again, it's really set the bar high for what I look for and what I desire in a relationship. So I'm super grateful to be able to learn and grow from them and be a part of this community.
There are many, many men suffering in silence that bring that suffering, and it transforms into maladaptive coping mechanisms, like playing video games is a great one that you see all the time, like drinking, like, and I can just keep listing them. All of those emotions and unprocessed experiences get bottled up into our bodies, and then we have to figure out a way how to cope and navigate life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is news to me. For anyone listening, I can't imagine being beaten up or humiliated in front of an entire classroom and not considering that trauma. That's my truth.
Yeah.
But let me go back to a time in my life where I didn't understand what trauma was or any of that, which, yeah, in my early 20s, I didn't really get it. And I don't know if I would have considered myself traumatized. I probably would have, because my childhood was a little tough.
And even in that,
even like, that is lessening it. But
the ego gets so developed as a result of this, like, where I remember this client's like, no, like, I didn't experience any bullying. It's like the ego is so quick to deflect that because of the narrative that's associated with bullying and or traumatic events like that.
How do you know the difference? How do you know when someone is deflecting versus they really didn't get bullied? You can just tell.
I can tell. Yeah. I don't know how to articulate that for our listeners, but I think that the ego increases exponentially when you start to get towards a pain spot that the body knows is underprocessed.
Okay. So how do they unburden?
So, to start to close out this episode, I think just having this dialogue is the first thing, because first thing is acknowledgement. Really acknowledgement of the fact that,
yeah, acceptance. It's like, yeah, I have a drinking problem, right? So let's work on it,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's so, I think a lot of things that our listeners can kind of pull from, hopefully this episode, or if you know someone that is a male or dude, maybe send them right on over.
Dude, guy, bro, guy, man.
You're bear loved, pig. You're accepted, and I think that just understanding, like, number one, the belief system. Do you believe? Like, where is your definition coming from trauma? Is it actually rooted in neuroscience, or is it just because our family, you know, unless it's a car accident or, you know, a war, is that what your definition is really rooted in? And so I think reflecting on number one, what is your definition?
Can we real quick? So the person that I was referring to, and we'll keep it anonymous for our listeners. And by the way, when I said I have a drinking problem, I meant the admittance factor. Like, the first step to solving something or improving something, I should say, is admitting that you do have a problem. Absolutely. Or admitting there's an opportunity.
Yeah.
So I used to have a drinking problem, and it took me admitting that before I worked on it.
Yep.
And now I've been sober for almost 5 years, which is awesome.
Huge.
Okay. So the person that you and I were referring to earlier, I know we got to jump, but you and I both know who we're talking about. Can you give an example of traumas in that person's past that he doesn't acknowledge?
I would say, okay. So perhaps, but again, I don't know if he would categorize that underneath bullying, because it's all contingent upon the reference.
Let's
point.
Go from your clinician
so, like,
frame.
From my perspective, that individual certainly was forced by the way of the family systems to move on very quickly from an emotional experience more than was needed. And I don't
Can
think
you give us a tangible example where he was bullied or he was beaten up.
Okay. So let's say, for example, this
that's all theory,
right? So this individual, was beaten up and was told to go home, and to rub some dirt in it when he was seeking consolation from his family, from his mom and his dad. And the way in which dad handled it was like, that's guys, like, why were you such an idiot? Like, don't get involved with that stuff. And like, it's a result of that not actually being seen, heard, or valued, or even just heard, like what happened, okay, instead of leaning into it. That,
so what would have been a healthy way?
What a healthy way would have been,
like, in a tangible,
yeah, and as his parent, like as a dad, of asking what happened instead of saying what's wrong with you or inferring that, literally asking what happened and just sitting there in silence, acknowledging the fact that something happened to this individual, that can really help one person unburden their experience. And that's why I think that it's, people get so nervous, the central nervous system gets so nervous around therapy and the concept of therapy, because in their childhood and as they progress in adulthood, there's very few people that are actually good at asking what happened and holding space. So our central nervous systems get synced up to that. So just, if you have someone that you know is struggling in relationships, or it, maybe you're the guy in this situation and you know, you're just starting to take that first step, even asking your partner to just hold some space while you process through a really tough moment, like,
or
that can be
or
huge.
Just go to therapy as well, because you have the full privacy.
Mm-hmm.
The clinician is trained or should be trained on how to hold space.
Yeah.
And as long as it's a therapist that you feel intuitively is aligned,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be amazing. I mean, there have been sessions where I just talked about my childhood for the whole hour.
Yeah.
And it just was nice to process through it and just say the truth. And
yeah,
it's super, super helpful. I mean, everybody should have a space that they can do that. Even just to understand yourself better, to understand what happened, to,
yes,
to learn from it.
Exactly.
It's just learning from it in general. You know, super. We do that for
I
each other
just
all the
even
time.
Even logging it, like logging the series of events. Like this person that I'm talking about, they couldn't even log what happened because they had disassociated from the moment. So like they, out of body, they had the out of body experience because they were in so much emotional and physical pain that they had to escape their body. So they didn't actually, so it was like 40 something years until this person actually acknowledged, took step number one with me in our call, to where he actually acknowledged the fact that, yeah, actually.
And we are talking about a different person now than what we were referring to, yep, before. So again, we kept all this private. We talked about a couple different individuals. And at the end of the day, here's the high level, because yeah, we got to jump. I got another podcast I got to get on. But so first and foremost, what is your definition of trauma? Have you looked it up? Little T, big T.
Chronic
versus acute. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then number two, of the males that you know, and if you're male, think of this as well, do they acknowledge that they have trauma? And if not, why not? And then three, do you acknowledge that you have trauma, and do you want to become unburdened? Do you want to look into those things?
Yeah.
And I do believe that there was a time in my early 20s where I didn't really want to look at a lot of that stuff.
Same.
And
same.
It can be really scary and really difficult, but I can't imagine my life having not done that, because...
What's the benefit been for you? I think the guys need to hear that.
Yeah. So the benefit has been, I just feel a lot more centered. I feel unburdened. It's the best word anyone can ever use, in my opinion,
mm-hmm,
is just unburdened. You're not carrying the weight of the world anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you felt like you were carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you have to make everything happen and be strong all the time. And it's just so fucking awful, quite frankly. And now I just feel very light and very centered and very connected and very grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to, I still get triggered every now and then. I still, you know, get frustrated, of course, and I still get angry every now and then, but it's way different than it used to be. It's much more centered and humble. And I don't know, I don't feel like I have to like be anything for anyone anymore. It's,
yeah,
it's very different than it used to be, you know?
And I can tell, and as your partner, and I just want to share this for the males that might be listening, as your partner, it's also freed me to really just be able to connect into you and help make our relationship better without having to feel like I have the shared burden of helping you see all of the things that are unprocessed. And I know there's a lot of women that struggle because their male partners are not processing their experience and just burdening themselves by keeping that like tight to the vest, if you will.
Yeah, keeping it all bottled up beneath the surface. And it's like you know, it's so tight and intense.
Yeah.
And versus just letting, you know, hold on loosely, but don't let go type of thing. That's what I feel like now is I can hold on to you loosely, but not let go.
Yeah.
You know, and whereas before it's more scarce and kind of like I have to be better.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's nice. It's real nice.
Yeah.
Real nice.
It's a very fragile place that you've been able to shift away from. So with that said, I'm really grateful for this dialogue. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Thank you for bringing it to us. I obviously don't. This is not something I've contemplated
much.
So
important. I speak to so many guys and it makes me like just about this and it's like.
I'm only coaching two guys. One of them I do believe is very burdened. The other one doesn't seem very burdened to me. But I'll help them with this a little bit too, for sure. Because at the end of the day, it's super important. Okay. What were you going
to
say?
I was just going to say if you're struggling with this, Relationship Talks is a safe space for you to be able to express, unburden, and honestly just even ask us questions around this. The link for that, we do a free one every single Saturday. We're not going to sell you on anything, just literally to have a space because this is so, so important for the betterment of relationships. The link to register for one of those is going to be in the show notes. So we hope to see you. That would be such an amazing opportunity for you to just get started. And that's what's so important and what's going to help your relationship flourish.
Most people from the outside looking in seem really confident, seem really great, seem like their life is super fulfilling. From the inside out, that's very rarely the case.
Yeah.
If you are ready to actually work on your life from the inside out, prior to my mid-20s, I was very successful from the outside in. Beautiful girlfriend, tons of money, got to do whatever I want when I wanted, you know, 1% earner, all this stuff. From the outside in, I seemed really confident and happy, but from the inside out, I really was not.
Mm-hmm.
And after 26, I got in my own car accident that I've talked about, and fortunately, I was okay physically. But mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, it got me to realize how much I hadn't dealt with.
Yeah.
And I just started working from the inside out after that. And I'm 9 years later, the compound effect of working from the inside out has been such a game changer. And the cool part is I'm still good on the outside too.
Hey.
It's just, that's what we are offering. If you're ready to do the work, the inner work, and be fulfilled in your real life, not just on Instagram, please reach out, please register, and we will help be guides because I definitely wish I had more of a guide on this journey.
For sure. Cool.
All right. As always, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. It's not about you or me. It's about
the we.
We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Conscious Couples Podcast. We love connecting with the Conscious Couples community. So please make sure you follow us on Instagram. I am at Evolve with Amelia and Alan is A Lazarus 88.
Also, if you or your partner resonated with this episode, leave us a review at the link in the show notes and please share this with someone you love and care about.
Until next time, remember, it's not about you or me. It's about
the we.